The fuse was first lit in Wisconsin, but the bargaining rights controversy is beginning to burn cross-country. That's what it looked like at the Tennessee state capitol of Nashville, where hundreds of public employees rallied for better wages and bargaining rights while staring down state police who were trying to stop demonstrators from disrupting government committee meetings. Seven people in all were hauled off to jail. In Ohio, similar shows of pro-union support. State workers faced off against Senate Bill No. 5, a measure that, if approved, would curb the collective bargaining rights of civil employees. Critics call it union busting. And check out this close call on I-70 in St. Louis. Police trying to get a handle on a post-accident traffic. They get their squad car. They plow. Oh. You see that there? I don't even have to explain. In a replay, if you look closely, you can see one of the officers jumping the median rail to safety as the cruiser goes spinning out of control. Ooh, unbelievably, neither officer was hurt. So American troops are doing what they can to protect themselves. But let's face it, it's a scary situation, and we don't know that it won't get worse. Retired Lieutenant General Russell Honoré is here. He led the military response to Hurricane Katrina. General, welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning. This might be the most challenging, hazardous humanitarian mission ever. So how comfortable would you be taking troops in?
Well, those troops are well trained and well protected. And the good thing is they have sensors and they have meters that tell them their level of exposure. And on the aircraft carrier and the sister ships, they have the capability to treat and monitor, as well as clean and decontaminate between missions. Carol?
But General, they haven't really been through anything like this. I mean, do they drill for something like this before they go? I mean, there's no precedent for a situation like this.
Well, absolutely. I mean, there's still a nuclear threat out there. We have the nuclear-powered carrier Reagan off the coast. The Navy is well-trained in this. They have to deal with the nuclear technology on a daily basis because that aircraft carrier. So there couldn't be a better force. The other great thing is that what the Navy brings to our Department of Defense and to the world is the ability to be able to operate offshore and to position itself where you can get the mission done without having to take space in the contaminated area. Well, you know, we have about 38,000 military and 45,000 family members in Japan who are very worried right now.
Exactly. And if I were a loved one and I'm like viewing this, you know, on my television set here in the United States, and I hear the protection for these troops flying helicopter missions is to keep their windows closed and their sleeves rolled down, and the protection for these people living on U.S. bases in Japan is to keep their windows closed and their ventilation systems closed, I would still be pretty scared.
And, Carol, I can assure you from the information I have, the commanders on the ground are using every means to keep the families informed, but people are worried. You know, on one hand, the State Department has issued no travel, unessential travel to Japan. The Department of Defense has said, stop, move. If you're en route, don't come. That sends a different mixed message to the families who should be worried, are worried, but the military is doing all they can to assure them that they are not at risk at this time if they take those precautions. I will tell you to take a look and look at a line. If they start issuing iodine pills, then they'll be close to a decision point when that decision would be made by the U.S. ambassador.
They've already done that. They've suggested that some of our military personnel take these pills. Is there a point where it becomes so dangerous, where the risks are so great that the U.S. military will say, we got to get out of here. We can't help you anymore?
I would say when you start giving that to family members, that you will start seeing some evacuation start to take place. That would be that point.
That would be that point. So in your opinion, the U.S. military should stay until what happens?
Absolutely. And the military, the uniformed military, has to stay till they accomplish their mission. You know, humanitarian missions are just as important as the warfight missions we do, Carol. They are one and the same. When we get a mission, the objective is to accomplish it, taking all the precautions that we possibly can to keep our troops safe and home away.
Well, I guess, you know, just as a person not in the military, obviously, I mean, when you go into the military, you expect to be shot at, you expect bombs to go off, but do you expect to be possibly poisoned with radiation?
Well, absolutely not. But we are trained for operating in a radiologically exposed area. I mean, that's why you have the best military in the world, and you pay all the tax you pay to support that 300-ship Navy and those 350,000 troops you got in the Army and the Air Force and the Navy. We're trained in that. We've got the equipment, and they will do the right thing with the right information.